Good.
Yes.
To George's amendment to the motion.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable with it. It's too late.
Bill, how much time do we have?
Mr. 1.5 minutes.
No, we have 1.5 minutes, and then unless there's any most extend time, we'll move to a vote. Campbell?
Point of order, do we actually extend time? Yes. I thought it was just to hear Ricardo.
Well, we extended time.
All right.
With the concern that I have is that we are putting a supremacy of the Robert's Rules of Order, which may or may not be by the changing of these words, you know, the few words that are changed, it changes the whole authority of this motion from the authority of the bylaws to the authority granted in terms of Robert's Rules of Order. And what counsel was speaking to was about immediate problems, not long-term suspension of membership. And I think that there's a profound difference between addressing, say, removing someone from a meeting where there's a problem versus their being suspended long term.
All right, thank you. Where are we on time? Is anybody else who'd like to speak with the 20 seconds other than Mavoy over there? There's 20 seconds left.
Does this deal with membership as far as listeners?
I believe this has to do with members of...
Members of the LSB
members
meeting.
Members of LSB, and yeah.
Okay. If they're violent in a meeting.
That's correct. Okay.
Yeah, but maybe I have the wording on that one more time. I don't have the wording of any of these motions.
Of the amendment? Please, yeah.
If you could. Members of an LSB who engage in violence or threats of violence against another person, and it would now be explicit physical violence against another person during a duly called meeting of the LSB, shall be subject to immediate removal from the meeting at the discretion of the chair, and shall also be subject to suspension from membership on the chair by majority vote of the members of the Assembly of Delegates of the station present and voting at subsequently called meeting of the Assembly of Delegates. Any member suspended by this Assembly of Delegates for violating this nonviolence policy shall be denied access to any meetings of the LSB and to facilities of the foundation.
So you're basically denying them membership.
Fia, would you please take the roll?
For an indeterminate time? For an indeterminate
time? Yeah.
Is there any objection? I guess I'll ask again.
Yes.
Okay, well, now we're going to vote.
Okay. Shram Agmir?
I'm going to pass on this.
Tracy Rosenberg?
I'm going to pass as well.
Andrea Turner?
I'm going to pass this one.
Joseph Wanzala. George Ryder.
Yes.
Sean is absent. Leslie Radford.
Pass.
Summer Reese is absent. Rico Ross.
Yes.
Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Alberto Luera is absent. Richard Uzel. Nia Beriaco.
No.
Kathy Davis is absent. Jennifer Jaeger.
Yes.
Alex Steinberg.
Yes.
Alonzo Brown.
Pass.
Alonzo Brown.
He said pass.
Oh, I'm sorry. Campbell Johnson?
No.
Kimry Orendoff?
Yes.
Marcel Reed?
No.
Jim Bennett is absent. Ifia Wangaza? Yes. Shram Agmir?
I'm going to abstain on this.
Tracy Rosenberg?
Abstain.
Andrea Turner?
No.
Can't go with this.
Let's see. Leslie Radford?
No.
Okay. I think Alonzo Brown?
Abstain.
Okay, so that's 1, 2.
But life is a life sentence.
But you've been elected.
Seven yeses, 5 noes, and 3 abstentions.
Could we have a recount on that?
That's the same as what I counted. Motion passes.
The motion passes. Bill got the same count. George.
Okay, I'll take back the chair. Thank you, Joe. The next motion is Alex Steinberg's. I don't know whether it's still alive or not, Alex. It's a request to get a staff list from your general manager, IGM, actually.
Can I table that?
Yes, you can move to table it.
Move to table it.
Is there any second to that?
Second.
Is there any objection to tabling it? Okay, hearing none. It's on the table. It can be brought back any time in the next 2 meetings. The next motion is Nia's motion on local station board membership hardship waiver process. I've scheduled 10 minutes for that. Nia, do you want to make it and motivate it?
It's at this point the election is just about daggone near over. So I have my notes here someplace. Okay.
Is it moot? Would you rather we just took it off the agenda?
No, it's not. Could I? I'll do what Alex did. I mean, I have my notes here, but not that it's going to make a difference. People are going to probably just tune it out anyway. I have the whole thing here.
Do you want to motivate it?
I have to read it. Maybe Leslie could read it for me. Please. Would you mind, Leslie?
I don't mind at all.
I've got a copy. Do you want me to read it?
Why did you get a copy of it?
Printed it out
from
online.
Somebody
read it, please. Okay. Mr. Chair?
Oh, no, here. Go ahead,
Kevin. Okay. It says, whereas the economy of virtually every country in the world has seen gross shifts over the past 2 years, including a severe downturn in the U.S. real estate and stock markets, adversely affecting home ownership and retirement savings, and has severe impact on ordinary working families, including increased rates of unemployment, homelessness, and hunger in areas where Pacifica stations are located, and whereas the Pacifica mission includes a specific call that in our operations we engage in activities to build lasting understanding and reduce antagonisms among individuals of various groups, and whereas a major separating factor in our society continues to be economic class, with increasing racial disparities in opportunities for wealth building, education, healthcare, and other basic areas, and whereas the genuine inclusion of diverse communities and the perspectives and experiences of the members of these groups enriches the foundation, regardless of individuals' present ability to make payment of cash or time, and whereas Article 3, Section 4 of the Pacifica bylaws allow local station boards to, quote, adjust or waive the contribution requirement for a listener sponsorship membership on a case-by-case basis for reasons of financial hardship, end quote, for a person who, quote, has demonstrated a sincere interest in becoming a member of the foundation and is also genuinely unable to afford the contribution amount or to volunteer the minimum 3 hours of service, end quote, resolved that the Pacifica National Board strongly urges all LSBs that do not have a hardship waiver process to rapidly create such a process with adequate time to publicize it so that listeners have time to apply before the membership record date of June 30th, and further, that the PNB urges any such process allow for the individual consideration of listener requests for a one-year hardship waiver without subjecting the prospective member to humiliating or intrusive demands for personal information or interrogation. Further, especially in the light of the proximity of the deadline and the likelihood that waiver applications may have to be sent through the Postal Service, LSBs are directed to allow the same deadline for snail or electronic postmark for such applications as that are allowed for submission of cash payments or completion of volunteer work.
George, could I just say, excuse me? I'm not going to motivate, but I'm going to suggest is that since the election is over, the election committee is still going to be meeting, correct? So maybe I would like to move
refer to the election committee?
Yeah, to refer to the election committee, as long as it doesn't stay there and drop dead, you know, until, I don't know, whatever time, but to be addressed so it's ready for 2012. Maybe by then it will be.
I have a point of order on this.
Yes, point of order.
According to the bylaws, the method of waivers or whether to have waivers or not is purely a matter for the local station boards to decide, so I don't think it's in order for this body to be passing motions on that.
I don't know how to rule on your point of order. I just don't know. It seems to me that if we do what Nia is suggesting, which is refer to the election committee, that can be raised in the election committee and it can either be
still out of order even on the elections committee, I think.
At that particular point in time, Alex is probably correct because there was nothing that was being done locally, so that's why I was urging them to
Well, there was something done locally at BAI.
I beg your pardon?
We had a waivers committee at BAI.
When you finish speaking, then I'll speak.
I hate to do this to you, Alex, but can you cite the part of the bylaws which say that
right
this
here.
Is this is strictly an LSB?
I have it in front of me, and I don't have any connection to the internet at the moment, unfortunately.
What's that?
Campbell read it.
No, he read your motion.
Yeah, but in there I have the article.
What's that?
Does anybody have the bylaws?
It's on page 2 of the booklet.
Oh, whereas Article 3, Section 4 of the Pacifica bylaws allow the state local station board LSBs to adjust or waive the contribution. Okay, there it is. This is a strongly urged motion.
It says the LSB, in its discretion, determines that the proposed. It's pretty clear.
Well, I'm going to rule that the motion's in order. It doesn't direct the LSB to do anything. It leaves them their discretion. It's rather like the motions that we made with regard to the National Election Supervisor. They don't have any force of you know, you have to do it.
That was okay.
It's just this is our sense. So it seems to me, and that from that point of view, it's in order to make it. Whether you think it's a good idea or not is another matter. But that. So anyway, I would rule it's in order. And if Afia, Nia, has moved to refer it to the Elections Committee. Is there a second for that?
Second.
Okay. Is there any objection to referring it to the Elections Committee?
I object.
Okay. Can we go to a vote on referring it to the Elections Committee? That is discussable if you wish. Sorry, Lawrence, we can't.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. I think that it would be entirely appropriate for this to be submitted to the election committee because there are several areas of particular concern. I think the potential for embarrassment of anyone who is in a situation whereby they don't have the finances and the kind of intrusiveness that I've certainly seen even in a church setting when people come to get free food or something, I think is just plain deplorable. And some folks who are overzealous in the local station can be rather problematic, I think, in this regard. And I think it would be worthwhile for the election committee to look at this and see what the ramifications are and see if the encouragement could be a little bit greater for people to be more sensitive and thoughtful.
Mr. Chair.
Rico.
I support this NIA's motion as well. I think it's a bit lengthy. And I also think there's something in there that...
It covers everything.
It does cover everything. It motivates itself. There's something in there that I found a little contradictory. One was it said that not to embarrass them, but another time, at another space, it said that they have to be show that they're deserving of it. And I just don't know how you can show that they're deserving of it if you're not allowed to ask certain questions. So maybe that's something that they can look at. But what I do like about this motion, and that you're bringing it up even at this time, is that too often the board is reactionary. We wait till the car crash, and then we try and do something about it. Whereas now you are already putting forth a motion that could be addressed now or in the next. However, months. So when we come to the next election, it's already been decided and we've got a policy set up.
Let's see. I have Bill and then Alex.
I don't mind referring to elections. It's probably a good idea. There's probably a good example of why, if there's a subject like this, we need to do some discussion on. We really need to spend the time at a committee. I mean, elections is, I guess, as good a place as any, but if. If I want to refer to another one, that'd be okay. I think in committee we have a lot more time to discuss pros and cons and details, and then we can come back with a report to the PNB, and the PNB can decide whatever they want to do with it. There's no rush because this is kind of moot until the next election, but you know, it'd be nice to get this settled because I know this has been an ongoing discussion in quite a few stations.
Alex?
I think the motion, if even if it's not out of order, is just dilatory because it can't actually force anything to happen. Every local station board can and does create its own rules for waivers, and this motion is not going to change that. All it's going to do is tie up our time.
Anybody else want to comment on the motion to refer this to committee? Okay, is there any objection to referring it to committee?
Yes.
There is. Okay, Rafia, would you take the roll on that? Oh, we can do that by vote. Raise your hand if you want to refer it to committee. So, yes, I would like to refer it to committee. Put your hand up. 1, 2, 3, 4.
You don't have to be on the committee.
8, 9, 10, 11. 11. All those
opposed.
I got you. I think I got you. All those opposed, put your hand up, please. 1. Abstaining. I don't know. Abstaining. Okay. 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 So the motion to refer to committee has been made, and let's see, Bill, you're the chair of that. Would you just take it under advisement to put it on the
agenda?
Okay. Before we go to the next item on the agenda, we hadn't scheduled any time for listener comment. Today, there's two half hours scheduled tomorrow, and there's a half hour scheduled on Sunday. But there are some people here, and they seem that they would like to make a comment. There are a few people. I would suggest we extend for 15 minutes.
Second.
So moved.
Is there any objection? And I'll see if I find a likely place to put the time.
Also, like to see if somebody can, because I think there were some members that may have left thinking that they were known. So maybe we can just call them back in case they want to speak.
Okay.
Do this now.
I don't think so. There's a sort of total requirement. But, is there any objection to doing that? Okay, hearing none, I think the place to put it would be really any time today. So my suggestion is that we go on to the next motion to give people a chance to come back and find out that it's happening, and we announce it then if there's anybody here. Okay, the next motion is Joe's motion, and it arose in the discussion around the local election supervisor at KPFK. So it's Wanzala motion, Ray Pacifica, election supervisors, and I'm not sure what time I assigned to it, just a moment.
15 minutes.
Okay, that sounds about right. Okay, Joe, do you want to make and motivate the motion?
Well, I think I've kind of forgotten all about this. I think it's been fully briefed, as they say, in the legal world. And maybe to save time and for the benefit of people on the stream, I'll just read the preamble to motivate it and then read the motion. So most of you have this in front of you in the agenda, so this is maybe for the benefit of people on the stream and maybe to remind people a little bit of what the issue is. The controversy surrounding the appointment of the local election supervisor for PFK revolved around the question, do the bylaws allow a paid or unpaid staff member to resign and then apply for the LES job? Or does there have to be a three-month period between when they resign and when they actually cease to be staff? Apparently, the latter view has been the past practice, based on the theory that Pacifica bylaws state that in order to attain staff status, one has to work 30 hours in the last 3 months. Conversely, this theory holds, one also has to wait 3 months from the time one resigns as an unpaid staff member to start being unpaid staff. However, if you are paid staff, no such restrictions apply, and you can quit one day and then begin work as an LES or NES the next day. It should be noted that there is, in fact, no three-month waiting period in the bylaws. This has simply been deemed by some to have been the intent of those who wrote the bylaws. Those supporting the view that unpaid staff should not be allowed to resign and then to work as a local election supervisor have stressed that the intent of the bylaws has been to create a firewall between the NES and the board, staff, management, etc., so that they can run a fair and unbiased election. The problem with this view is that it means that anyone with actual experience and knowledge about Pacifica, e.g. former and paid staff members, would automatically be ineligible while favoring people with no exposure to or experience with Pacifica. It also ignores the reality that several Pacifica election supervisors, indeed the better ones, have been staff members prior to becoming election supervisors. In other words, the firewall theory is unrealistic, can lead to less than optimally run elections, and is prejudicial to unpaid staff. So the motion is, pursuant to Article 4, Delegate Section 4 of the Pacifica Bylaws, election supervisors, which states in part, to be eligible for appointment to the position of the National Election Supervisor, said person shall not be an employee of the foundation or of any foundation radio station or a delegate officer or director of the foundation or of any LSB or a radio staff member paid or unpaid. And Article 3, members of the foundation, Section 1, members defined B, staff members, which states in part, staff members shall be any non-management, full-time or part-time, paid employee of a foundation radio station, or any member of a foundation radio station, unpaid staff organization, or unpaid staff collecting bargaining unit, depending on the station, which has been recognized by station management, or if the station has neither such organization or bargaining unit than any unpaid, any volunteer or unpaid staff member of a foundation radio station who has worked for said radio station at least 30 hours in the preceding 3 months, exclusive of fundraising marathon telephone room volunteer time. Be it therefore resolved that, so this is really the essence of it, of the motion, any Pacifica staff member, paid or unpaid, is eligible to be considered for the position of national or local election supervisor as long as they resign their position and status as a staff member in writing before taking the position if it is offered to them.
Okay, is there a second for that motion?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Yep.
Alonzo? I've got Alonzo, then Leslie. And let me try to do this as I had suggested I would.
Tracy.
Alonzo, do you want to speak for it or against it?
I'm just asking a question.
Okay. Point of information always in order.
Who is disadvantaged by this motion or resolution?
As the way I understand it, the unpaid staff would be disadvantaged because the way, as I understand it, the restriction to quit one day, in other words, in fact, in this particular situation, there was an unpaid staff member who wanted to be election supervisor. Under the current reading of the bylaws, an unpaid staff member would have to wait 3 months before they could become an election supervisor, whereas a paid staff member could quit one day and take their job the next day. But an unpaid staff member would have to wait 3 months.
Okay, Leslie, which way did you want to speak?
Rico on the stack, please.
Leslie.
I want to speak against it.
Against? Leslie? Rico, are you for or against?
I'm not sure.
I knew I was going to run into trouble with this.
Okay,
we'll put you on next anyway. Rico.
Did you get me, George?
I didn't.
Arlene?
I
just have a question.
Okay.
George.
Which way do you want to go? Do we have anyone speaking for it?
I'll speak for it.
Jennifer?
Campbell will speak against.
Campbell?
Nia against.
Nia?
Against.
Do we have any more for?
Fia?
This is for...
For Joe's motion, which is...
To hold them to the same standard.
To hold them to the same standard. To hold volunteer staff to the same standard, which is to say, if you want to be the election supervisor, you have to quit your job you've got. Okay. So let's get started. Leslie.
Yes. My concern with this is, in fact, the firewall that is built in. Unpaid staff have an incentive, if they get paid, to quit their position and take the position as local election supervisor. That means that folks could quit the day before the job opens or the day before they get the job, get a paid position, and be in a position to benefit the staff elections, particularly in our partisan environment. At the end of that, according to this motion, at the end of their term as election supervisor, they would end that contract and revert back to their unpaid staff position. The difference here is that it's very unlikely that paid staff are going to quit a permanent paid position to take a temporary position, and at that point, particularly in our current budget circumstances, they're going to have very little opportunity to come back to their permanent paid position. So the concern here, because our staff is a relatively small group, it's factionalized just like, you know, everybody in Pacifica is, that we're going to end up with people who collect a paycheck and have the opportunity, and I'm not saying they would, but they would have the opportunity to favor an election toward people they work with on a regular basis or against people they dislike and work with on a regular basis. It's a fairly intimate group. And there's a lot of incentive here for an unpaid staff member to take a temporary position, then go back to their unpaid staff position. That's not a problem with the paid staff.
If you believe it is a problem with the paid staff, then I would prefer to see a bylaws amendment that banned paid staff from being local election supervisors than to take on this particular interpretation in front of us.
That was time. And Bill will hold up the a red thing. You got 10 seconds left, so you... Rico.
Yeah, I just want the playing field to be balanced. And I don't see why, if you're getting a paycheck, that you have rules that apply to you that don't apply to somebody else who's working, but they don't receive a paycheck. I am concerned about the firewall, but I'm concerned about the firewall for paid people as well. The firewall is a firewall. Anybody can be corrupt and can try and sway things their way because they're in the position to do so. My main concern with the motion is that it's one of those motions that sounds like it's written by a lawyer, and it seems like it could be written a little more user-friendly.
Well, but it's just the very last part that you asked to vote on.
Right. All right. So the last part, which is the essence of it, I think I have to go with it, though. I want to say that I'm dealing with what practically happened at KPFK. This is what I'm basing it on, and I can see how sometimes our rules can get get us in trouble and make us do things that don't make sense. And what happened at KPFK was a shame, and this will address that. Now, the question is, am I looking at the big picture, and is this motion looking at the big picture, which is what I think Leslie, Ms. Radford, is referring to.
Tracy.
I'm going to speak against the motion. One of the things that I want to say in response to what Rico just said in terms of an even playing field, because I think it's an argument that people are finding compelling, it's not an equal playing field. A paid person who decides to be an election supervisor is giving up a paid position. Their paycheck from the radio station is going away because they are taking a temporary position that will be over in 6 months. In most cases, they are giving up CWA union status. It is a much more complex transaction to take an LES position as a paid staff person at a station than it is to simply stop volunteering and then start again when you're done. I think unpaid staff make tremendous contributions to Pacifica, and I've known a lot of them, and many of them would certainly love it if perhaps those contributions could be compensated every once in a while, and that's human nature. And it is not fair to hold people accountable for the fact that they would like to be paid for their work if it works out. And we have a responsibility, I think, here to incentivize people to do the election supervisor position in the best interest of the election, not in the best interest of things that they are hoping will happen for them in a work environment they're already participating in and that they hope to participate in on a different basis. I think it's unrealistic about human nature. It endangers our elections, and any unpaid staff member who wants to be an LES because that's what they want to do for 6 months of their life can step down from their unpaid position 3 months before the election comes, no problem. Well, all right, 6 to 12 months before. No one is being persecuted and prevented from being an LES. We're just setting up reasonable precautions to avoid conflicts of interest. I think our bylaws are actually correct on this one matter, and I wouldn't say that too often.
Arlene, you had a question or a comment earlier?
I have a question and one comment.
Okay.
My question is, what is this? Sorry.
Does this in any way preclude there being an agreement that the person returns to employment immediately afterwards? This was alluded to by someone, but I think that is an important part of the issue. And then the other comment is just, I think that was put into our bylaws in order to create a firewall where the elections hopefully couldn't influence who's selected for the board or the staff. And that does concern me.
Joe, did you want to respond to the question?
So the question is whether or not the motion precludes there being an agreement that the, in this case, the unpaid staff member would not, Arlene, could you clarify the question again? I wasn't sure what the question was.
Does this allow, really, the person to have either an agreement, spoken or unspoken, or at least the possibility of immediately returning to their position once their position as LES is over? You know, you start out, you resign your position the day before, you come into this job, and then the minute you leave it, you're right back where you were.
I don't think it either. Yeah, I don't think it addresses that situation one way or the other. Yeah, I mean, it's that seems to me an independent question. So in other words, it doesn't necessarily preclude it, and it doesn't also provide for it.
Jennifer?
Yeah, I'm going to speak for the motion. I feel like at KPFK, we lost a valuable election supervisor because of all the unclarity in the bylaw we have now. And I feel that, you know, basically, even if an unpaid staff person takes it, they may have to quit a job. They would have to quit an outside job if they were working anyway, because it's a full-time job being election supervisor. So I don't see the point of, you know, the difference between a paid person or an unpaid person. And as far as penalizing paid staff, I think Arlene had a really good idea about having some kind of agreement that would allow them to resume their job after it was done. So I think there should be parity. And I also think that it's important. I know that, you know, the factionalism, it can be a problem, but the election supervisors, as pointed out by all the flaws in the election this time, really need to know what's going on in Pacifica. Otherwise, they're coming in cold, and they may choose to listen to the board or not listen to the board, and there can be a lot of serious mistakes. But somebody coming in from the organization, you know, is ahead of the game. So.
Okay, Campbell.
Yes, I'm just concerned about the implementation in regards to whether it makes an even playing field, and if there's a lot of prior orchestration of reappointment, I'm somewhat concerned in that regard. However, I do think that the situation should be fair for the goose and fair for the gander. And so I would be in favor of the motion.
Okay, Nia.
Leslie said what I was going to say, most of it, but
okay.
I just need to take care of the lady's watch out.
Afia.
It seems to me that it's to our benefit to have volunteers to want to become more intimately involved in the activities at Pacifica, and it's and to increase the number of volunteers as opposed to paid staff. And if a volunteer is going to be penalized because he or she chooses to extend his or her service to a paid position, it would seem to me that it would discourage volunteers from further participation. The idea that a volunteer is going to be any more biased than a paid staffer, I think, flies in the face of reality in light of the fact that the paid staffer is more likely to take those actions that are more likely than not to ensure that he or she is going to get his or her position back, if not a better one, in the instance that his or her faction
goes into power, given the fact that that's the way things seem to operate here. So I think that someone else said what's good for the goose is good for the gander would apply. There's no reason to believe that somebody, it's just because they're unpaid. They may have lots of money and more time than they know what to do with, and therefore gives it to Pacifica.
Okay, that's time, and that's the end of the stack. Can we go to a vote on this? Okay, hearing no motion to extend, let's do that. The motion, Joe, read the just the be it resolved part.
Be it resolved that any Pacifica staff member, paid or unpaid, is eligible to be considered for the position of national or local election supervisor as long as they resign their position and status as a staff member in writing before taking the position if it is offered to them.
Okay. All those in favor, put your hand up, please. I count six. Okay. All opposed? Seven. The motion fails. 7-6. Okay. We had earlier discussed, and I think this is the right time to do it, giving 15 minutes for the audience. Would you put your hand up if you'd like to speak to the group? One, two, that's it? Three, four? Okay. So 3 minutes apiece. We don't have a list circulated yet. What's that? If you'll just come up and one at a time and, you know, arrange it for yourselves. Hold this up when you've got 20 seconds left.
Okay. I'm Frank Lefevre, and ordinarily I wouldn't be at the PNB meeting this early. I tend to sleep till like 4:30 in the afternoon, but I was in the neighborhood. I was down at the Dag Hammarskjöld Plaza, block and a half down, with the Congolese who were demonstrating against the continued genocide in the Congo. This is something which has been on the sort of under the radar of the American public, and I think it's been a little under the radar of Pacifica also. I don't think there's been an awful lot about it. I know Ann Garrison out in Berkeley has had maybe one or two small messages on KPFA, and I guess Afrobeat radio has featured a little bit of that. But essentially, the story that you heard about Hotel Rwanda is 180 degrees away from the truth, that this man, Paul Kagame, who was Bill Clinton's buddy, and Blair's buddy and so on, beginning in 1990 when he invaded from Uganda, really set in motion the genocide. In fact, he was committing what might be termed genocide all the way to Kigali. And he didn't stop there. He continued past Kigali into the Congo, and by some reckonings, anywhere from 1.5 million to 6 million Congolese have died as a result of our agents, the American agents in East Africa, namely Museveni in Uganda and Kagame in Rwanda, and the second Kabila, Joseph Kabila, in the Congo. And the raping of the Congo resources, as well as the Congolese women, continues to this very day. And a great deal of it's being funded by us. Now, October 1st was the day that the UN released, finally, a report which had been leaked after being suppressed for about 7 years, which documents all this very well, and by any stretch of imagination has to indict Kagame as a war criminal. October 1st, 1990 is also the date of the invasion. So anybody wants to discuss this further with me and see if we can get Pacifica involved with it, you can get me at Frank Lefevre on Facebook or fflefevre@yahoo.com. That's fever, F-E-V-E-R, like scarlet fever, L-E-F-E-V-E-R at Yahoo.
Okay, for those of you who came in late, we didn't have a list. If you would all just sort of take turns coming up, and you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Lawrence Reyes from KPFK. I'm kind of embarrassed that you would pass a zero tolerance policy without any mechanism. Thank you. Without any mechanism for redress or process in place to be able to address the allegations that are going to come out of this. As someone who's been banned for alleged threats of violence, for allegedly carrying a machete into KPFK, and for almost 2 years I was banned. And it was just on allegations, and those allegations are still going on today, those lies. So when I hear something like this, a death sentence, basically, to a member, that's not to say that I'm tolerating violence. I'm not. But there needs to be a process, a mechanism in place where a lawyer doesn't necessarily have to get involved from a party that's going to bring a lawsuit, but that there be a process that is in place in governance where a member could redress these allegations or these alleged acts of violence and what's going to constitute it. I see Pandora's box opening up because there is no process in place. So for those of you who voted in favor of this, I believe you had a vindictive reason. I don't know. Or maybe you had a legitimate reason. Or you had a serious concern about the foundation, and I share that concern with you. But the fact is that there's no process. There still is no process for people who are purged or banned because the side that's in power wants that to happen, wants that reality to continue. And yet, the reality really doesn't get addressed in terms of, you know, what's true and what's a fabrication of the truth. And then the other thing about the waivers. At KPFK, there was a task force of one person that vetted the waivers. Rico knows how I was on top of the waivers. And yet 16 waivers requests went in, and none of them got approved. One person, as far as I know, was the one that vetted those waivers. So waivers just shouldn't be an issue when the election is about to come up. It should be, you know, it's in the bylaws. It should be year-round. That if somebody requests a waiver, that they be seriously considered to be given that waiver. Red means time's up.
20 seconds.
Okay, so anyway, and there are other real serious issues that I'll be bringing up this weekend. Thank you.
I'm Steve Zeltzer. I'm a member of KPFA and also with Voices for Justice Radio. .org, and we're running a slate at KPFA. I wanted to comment first on the streaming tomorrow of this rally that's going to happen that the AFL-CIO and NAACP is holding. They expect 200,000-300,000 people there.
SEIU
1199. This is a very important national event, whether you agree or disagree. It's a very important labor national event. And it's something that Pacifica should be streaming. We should publicize in all the affiliates. This is the first time that I've heard it's announced. Now, there's an opportunity to reach out to working people and have rank-and-file people and others participate in this event, make it a national event, if you have a vision and perspective to do that. That will draw new people to KPFA and Pacifica, all the stations. So I think we need to focus on how we can use these national events and how to build Pacifica and our stations, to have local input, have National Day of Programming with this event, and having local groups participate in the programming on the issues facing working people in this country and why people are demonstrating. Now, there's going to be an opportunity in March when there's going to be the 100th anniversary of the Triangle Fire, which actually was in New York. And there's a national committee. There's a committee in New York. We're trying to have events all around the country. I think Pacifica should get involved in that, should have a day, a national day of the Triangle Fire, the immigrants 100 years ago and the immigrants today and what they face. And this is the way we can reach out and begin to build and broaden our support and solve our financial crisis by getting more listeners and being an alive station and network. I want to raise a couple of other issues on the issue of the elections. We got a serious problem here in that the notice, the election pamphlet was not mailed out with the ballots. So you get a bunch of names and no information about who the candidates are. This is wrong. And not only is that wrong, but the management doesn't explain to the listeners what's going on. If there's a mistake, you put out a notice and say, this is what happened, this is how we're going to resolve it. There's no information from the leadership and the management of the station where what's happening. This is unacceptable. This is what you're paid to do as competent managers. Explain what's happening with the system and the network and what we have to do about changes, whatever. There's no information coming out. So rumors and insider find out. I mean, this is the wrong method of handling what are some serious internal problems. The other thing is at KPFA, there's staff interference in the election. There's this KPFAworker.org, which is putting out information on the air, attacking people, and there's no accountability. I don't have the chance to get on the air and say this or say that within the bounds of being on the election, running in the election, and this is wrong. So there has to be accountability. There has to be transparency. As I understand it, there's no national personnel manual. Where's the personnel manual for the functioning of the staff at all the stations? This is the responsibility of management, and it has to be taken seriously, and it has to be done. Thank you.
Hello, William Hairwagon from New York. Welcome back again. I didn't like it at first. I thought it was a waste of time. But you guys, you started this acknowledgement business, and I'd like to make some acknowledgements. I'd like to acknowledge our local election supervisor, who's doing a bang-up job under a lot of pressure, taking a lot of grief from a lot of people at the station and from this board as well, or the local station board. Nicole Justice Hilton is doing a heck of a job, and we made listener quorum, I understand, but there may be a question about staff quorum, and that'll be due to them not being able to mail out well over 100 staff ballots because they didn't have addresses, so, and the fact that they packed the list, this is management, they packed the list with names of people that haven't been at the station for years or weren't there during the time period, like when I wasn't there, so because I was suspended, so I couldn't run, couldn't vote. I mean, it's very strange. Then I'd also like to acknowledge one of our board members here who just made his position very clear, and he has all along. He's on the waivers issue. He's against people that might be poor. He's against people that might not have time. And I haven't even, I don't know if anybody's ever said, what about people that are in prison, that we have our prison show? Maybe they could want to apply. But he's very against anybody that just doesn't fit his measure of character. It's a sad, sad thing. But I'd like to acknowledge that he is upfront about it. And I think someone also used the word, it was a dilatory motion. Maybe it was the same gentleman. I think it's not dilatory at all. It should be something that it's not a waste of time. It's in the bylaws, and you should pass that motion, urging the LSBs to do the right thing when even the like New York LSB majority doesn't want to. And they passed one year where, this is funny, pardon me for laughing, the waivers motion allowed people to run for the LSB as opposed to become members so they could vote for the LSB. I mean, these are a bunch of strange people. Then on the local election supervisor motion, or trying to let staff, depending on the category, vote, you're missing the point. It shouldn't be. We're trying to keep the politics out of the election, but we're not. And it should be the other. If you're going to do anything, go the other way. Everybody has to be away from the station in any kind of show or employment capacity for 3 months. Not let everybody run in and bring their politics to the election procedure. And on that also, The 2 years ago, I think Bill Crozier here would remember, the elections committee passed a motion saying we should hire a professional company to do the elections, and that would take the politics out of it. And after one election, they'd know how to do it. Thank you.
Well, I was saving myself for last because you deserve that. My name is Fernando Velasquez, and at the risk of getting maybe one or two of you guys to really listen to what I'm here to say, I'm still going to insist to let you know that even though you look at KPFK in Los Angeles as the radio station that is making lots of money, so you can pay some of the money you owe, some of the forthcoming legal expenditures that you have with the upcoming lawsuits coming your way. KPFK's programming is really, really deteriorating very rapidly. I don't know if you ever take that time to listen, but if we are being told that Arbitron is really giving us a high rate of approval, that we are getting great ratings, that Arbitron is telling the right thing, and our interim program director is doing the right thing, and yet one fine drive after the other, we are making no money. I mean, if there are large numbers of new listeners, they have no intention of giving you guys money. So why you want to continue going in that route unless what you really, really want to do is to lead the network into a disaster, financial disaster, so you can sell one of the station's licenses or one or two of the buildings. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. Or unless you are really looking forwards, the idea of having a network that has a couple of hundred large donors and no real involvement with your community, giving you little money here, little money there, and being having the community involved, financing and running the station along with you, not a top-down operation. Or perhaps you are thinking that if you drive the station more and more to the right and make it more and more white, it will become irrelevant, and then you no longer have a mechanism where you can reach people to organize resistance against the trend that we see in the United States. I don't know if you've been following the economic forecast, but at best, if we can see a recovery for this economic crisis, it will be 2015, maybe 2017. So we are talking about real social upheaval, real trouble, real chaotic situation where millions of people are suffering already in pain, and you guys are not really becoming part of the solution. What's wrong with you people? Come on. This is a new day. We need to make a difference. Think about it. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ursula Rudenberg, Affiliates Coordinator, and I don't think I'll be giving a presentation this weekend, so I just wanted to say welcome to rainy New York. And some of you are probably aware that October 1st is the beginning of new contracts with affiliates. Our contracts are for a year at a time, and I'm quite a bit farther along with that process than I was when I wrote the report. So just an update. At this point, most of the negotiations have occurred, and it looks like the projected number of affiliates at this point is 146. And the income and fees currently is at about $237, and there's about $237,000, and there's about 10 stations that are still unresolved, so it's not the final number, and I guess my goal for this year is to get it back up to $250,000 in fees like it was before, so. Because some contracts do come in during the year. So that's the update. And again, welcome to New York. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Is there anyone else who wants to speak? Okay. Back to the agenda. The next item on the agenda is one that's been on there for quite a while, been postponed a couple times, and I will remind you what it is. It's the what has come to be called the recalcitrant. Let me see if that's true. Is there another one between that?
No.
It's the recalcitrant LSB proposal. Originally came out of the governance committee where I allocated 30 minutes for this. The first part is as it came out of the, and it's in your book now, and I want to thank Richard and LaVon for getting us the books. You now have the agenda. Yes. Yes, do give them a hand for it. It's section...
Page 3 of the agenda.
Same old